In the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There are many descriptions in the Old Testament of the day of the Lord, one of them more horrific than the other. Some of them can be kind of grisly, kind of gory. Some of them fix a lot on images of conflagration and devastation, where even the elements of this world melt and are charred. One of the pictures in Amos is the picture of famine. Famine, however, not of food and water, Amos says, but famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And that sounds like our text for today, except that our text is not talking about this famine of the word of the Lord and relegating it to some eschatological someday out there. It's talking real time in real history. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. And when that quickening, jabbing word of the Lord is rare, people get used to it. They get used to living their lives and running their nations and ordering their sanctuaries and their churches by themselves. And they don't even miss the Lord, not a lot. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, a self-imposed death sentence is what it was. And maybe that's why, because the word of the Lord was so rare in those days, maybe that's why when it did come, nobody seemed to recognize it when it came. Samuel certainly didn't. Now, the text does say that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, but I guess that simply proves the point we're making. The word of the Lord came, and Samuel thought it was the old man calling. I mean, his eyesight wasn't that good, right? Text says that too, and maybe he needed some help. He couldn't tell the difference. And three times over, he couldn't tell the difference. Eli didn't know what was going on, although we have to give him at least the credit for pointing Samuel in the right direction, because had it not been Eli who told him to respond as he did, who knows how long Samuel would have come to Eli. The word of the Lord, however, was rare in those days, and life went on no longer expecting the word of the Lord. Sounds like an epitaph, which could be pronounced as well on our day, maybe, as on that day, and pronounced on life around us and on our society and our nation. And those are the terms we think of on a Martin Luther King Day, pronounced maybe on our sanctuaries and our churches as well. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Rare as it was, however, and the point of the text is exactly here, rare as it was, however, the word did come, and that's why we've got this pericope in the Epiphany season. It did come. It came into the darkness that night. It came into the darkness of the sanctuary that night. It came into the darkness of the night of the sanctuary in the people of Israel. It came into the darkness of the heart of God's people. It came, though, unannounced, uninvited, unanticipated, in its own time. It came in its own way, which is to say, when it came, it may have seemed kind of underwhelming, so much so that Samuel couldn't tell it apart from Eli's word. Now, maybe that just shows how rare the word was in those days, and probably no matter how it would have come, people wouldn't have known what to do with it. Maybe, on the other hand, underwhelming is the default setting for the word of the Lord. Underwhelming is the preferred mode of an awful lot of times that the word comes. Even when the word came, folks out there couldn't tell him from any other son of any other carpenter out there. And the word comes, and it looks like just so much water in a basin. And it looks like just a bland old wafer in a little sip of wine. The word does come, however, when the darkness becomes suffocating. The word does come, and it rekindles, and it recreates. And as underwhelming as the word may appear to be, it is charged with the power of God Himself. The word comes intrusively into the life of God's world. The word comes selectively, setting aside the normal ecclesiastical protocol and etiquette by running and run around the keeper of the sanctuary. The one who gave Samuel the key clue, the word comes, and it comes creatively, and it calls, and it activates, and it energizes an unsuspecting child and transforms him into a bearer of the word, that rare word, and an anointer of the king and a servant of God. It's the way it's been. It was just so that God called and activated and energized an Abraham, a Moses, a Jeremiah, a Mary, a Paul, all servants, bearers of the word, taken up into God's task of shaping an Israel through whom all the nations of the world can be blessed. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word rare, more literally, the Hebrew word, more literally means precious. And precious it is too. Especially the word that finally became flesh and dwelt among us, and gave his life for us and for this world, that word that in his spirit continues to call servants into his word, however underwhelming any of us may be. We are, to use Paul's image indeed, treasure in earthen vessels. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. And there are still places out there where the word of the Lord is rare. And it's not because the Lord doesn't care. It's because there are eyes out there that can't see, and there are ears that don't hear. As with Samuel, only more so, there are folks out there who don't yet know the Lord. Hence, the word. Hence, Samuel. Hence, that rare, precious word. And there is only one. It's the word the Lord calls you to bear and to proclaim and to live. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Here am I, Lord, send me. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Go, therefore, to all the nations in the name of our Lord.